You're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget right here on Moody Radio 89.3, and there's no arguing that fact.
No arguing that fact, and I know you're not looking forward to talking about conflict, Eric, but it is a part of life, right? Whether we're talking in marriage or friendship or even work relationships, how do we disagree in a healthy way? I'm so glad Marty Wibbles, Alan Wibbles, both in studio to help us through this. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't like how it makes me feel. Let's just start there. I don't like the argument. I get anxious. My stomach gets upset. I start shaking. I honestly don't like conflict. I avoid it. I don't want to be near it. I don't like it in a meeting. I don't like it in the house. It's just my personality. Is there something wrong with me?
Are you a golden retriever? Is that your personality?
Probably.
I know I am, and I hate conflict, and I work in a field where, of course, there is a lot of conflict. Right. And so what we can do, those of us who don't like conflict, is practice diaphragmatic breathing. Inhale and pause, and then exhale. And notice there's even conflict in nature. Mm-hmm. It's more difficult to see for those of us who live here in Florida, but in the northern climates, every year the conflict is trees lose their leaves. They're barren. They get new leaves. And that's sort of a conflict, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I have to rake it. I don't like that either.
I like Bridget's mug that says, start every day with a grateful heart. Mm. I think maybe that might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, if you did like conflict, conflict, it's inevitable. We don't want to necessarily like it, though, Alan, right? I mean, that's not the perspective either. You don't want to rush into it all the time.
Well, even though it's inevitable, we've got to make sure that we grow through it. Mm-hmm. And when Marty was talking about being a golden retriever, she married a lion. So
okay. This isn't what you were here for. Right. But when you say those two things, explain what that means when it comes to your personality.
Well, in the different behavioral styles, we all have – God has created us and made us exactly the way he wants us to be. And he wants
– we can grow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And with every behavioral style, you have strengths. But when you overuse those strengths, they become weaknesses. Right. So when I speak, I think I'm speaking nice and calm and quiet. And Marty, she thinks I'm roaring at her.
I'll say, "Why are you using that mean voice?" And he'll say, "This isn't a mean voice."
I don't say it like that.
I can see an argument on the way home already.
No. We're over it. But in our first year of marriage, we had some big ones. And finally, Alan came up with a great solution. Am I interrupting you, babes,
no.
by the way? Okay. His solution was, how much is this going to matter a year from now?
Right.
Which is true. The Gottmans, Drs. John and Julie Gottman, have done probably the most research of anyone with couples. And they found out that 69% of the things we fight about can never be fully resolved. So if we're having a conflict and the goal either clearly in our mind or in our subconscious is that we've got to resolve the conflict, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
If over 2/3 of the conflicts can't be fully resolved, some of them can be partially resolved. The more important thing would be to glorify Christ, because marriage is not for our personal fulfillment. It's to glorify Christ. Mm. So we can lower our expectations in our spouse and raise them in Christ and in ourself that we behave properly.
I think that's a really big underlying key when we think about conflict is what's the point of it? Because if the point is you're supposed to make me happy, sometimes we think marriage is, and you're not fulfilling your end of the bargain, well, then conflict is inevitable if we think about it that way. And most of us do going into marriage.
That's such an important point. Alan, I think you were going to read something.
No? Oh. not now anyway.
Okay, we won't have a conflict about that. I was just afraid I'd talked over him before, which is the first point is to listen of what to do and what to avoid is talking over the other person. And you can see I got excited about talking about the percentage of conflict, and I was afraid I talked over Alan.
No, never worry about that. I'll be heard in the process.
I guess you can talk over somebody without even saying anything sometimes, though, because you're talking over in your mind as they're responding to you, right?
So true. Yes.
Right. It was interesting. A couple of weeks ago on Facebook, our pastor friend in Russia posted a Facebook post, and it said, "How you treat your wife in private is what you think of Christ." I thought, whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
That's really causing me to think about how I respond before I – and that's the key. We've got to learn to respond rather than react.
That is the key, because even in your opening comments here, which, by the way, you can get these notes that we're working through how to have a healthy fight when you text HEALING, 561-737-6035. Sometimes it's not the – just not fighting. That's not like the goal. It's – doing it in a way that actually is respectful and healthy. And is that really possible? I guess, Marty, that's where our start. Is that possible?
It is possible, but it requires information. Mm-hmm. It requires wisdom, and that we get from the Lord. So we pause, ask God for wisdom, and then proceed. And it requires fundamentally a level of respect of our spouse that we want to work on the marriage. Because once you say, "I do," you did. You stop saying, "Did I marry the right person?" But you make it right. Instead of saying, "I just don't know if I have feelings for him or her," you say, "I'm going to make the choice to love my spouse and the feelings will follow." So it's a lot about choosing to live like a Christian. And that means Christ is in us to give us the power to do the right thing.
Okay, so you said it's choosing to love my spouse.
Yes.
We're talking about fighting, though. Okay, that just seems to me, again, that seems like we're going in two different directions here. How can I love but fight? And then the word you put healthy in there, I guess that's the one I'm missing, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember before I became a therapist, I was doing workshops, and one was all school psychologists, and I was teaching them about the behavioral styles. And I got to admit, it was simplistic, you know, saying if you understand each other's behavioral styles, blah, blah, blah. And afterwards, the comments were mostly favorable, but several people said, "People are a lot more complex than you're giving them credit for." So not only are we differing behavioral styles, there's male-female differences, even if you were the same behavioral style. Just because one is a man, one's a woman, you're going to think differently. You're going to have different perspectives about life. Like, fundamentally, go back to Genesis, the man was created to conquer, right? And the woman was created to nurture. Those are pretty big differences. And so we'll come at it differently, and we can help each other grow because if we listen respectfully to each other's perspective, it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of it like that. That's good. And so there's behavioral style differences, there's male-female differences, there's attachment style differences, which we don't have to have time to get into today. What else?
But even different backgrounds, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we come from very different backgrounds. You may be both the same, you know, white American or whatever, but the issue is not your culture or your background. It's how you respond in those situations. I grew up on a small in a small town in a far on a farm, and Marty grew up in the Chicago area, and her dad was in the banking business. So you can imagine when we got together, we had nothing in common except the Lord, and that's where our relationship began, was in the context of Christian ministry.
And following what the Bible says, like when the Bible says, "Wives, submit to your husbands," you know what that means? Yield, submit. And that doesn't mean if he says jump, you say, "How high, babe?" It's okay, you want me to not go there? Let's talk about it. So that's where the healthy conflict can come in. That I can grow because Alan has a different perspective. He can grow because I have a different perspective. And so the idea is you learn to make collaborative decisions, that both of you have legitimate points, and you don't minimize each other's ideas. That's huge.
Yeah. You even talk about, instead of trying to win your argument, why not make each conflict an opportunity to have a win in your relationship? That's just a whole nother way of thinking about the differences, right, Alan?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. There's always a win if you'll look at it in the right way. It's just the whole sports world is that way. Whether you win or lose, the important thing is, how did you play the game? And in marriage, there isn't really that win or lose. There is the idea that you're going to work together to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And you may not have the same goals spiritually, and that's where you begin to pray for one another. Oftentimes when Marty and I talk, it's like we're speaking two different languages. Because I think she didn't hear me, so if I say it again, explain louder. It a little more, and be louder.
Certainly then.
It's like when I'm trying to communicate with somebody in Spanish, I can't say more than hello, and that's about it. But I might say it louder.
Right. So that's where it's really important to utilize the tool of reflective listening, which I've talked about before, but it's worth repeating. I know I need to hear it over and over. But it's, if he says something and I just don't get it, my job is to be like a mirror with my next words and say, okay, so you're saying you don't feel like it's a good idea to go there because. And then he knows I heard him. And then he'll say, yes, that's right. And also, and he might add something, and I'll say, okay, you said that. Is it okay if I add my thoughts? And no, I don't usually say, is it okay? I just add them. but then he listens to me respectfully, and we are able to come to better decisions because both of us have good ideas. And if it comes to a point where he's adamant about his and I'm adamant about mine, I do the biblical principle of yielding. And sometimes it's hard. But what's amazing is when I've yielded to his idea because it's the biblical principle, not because I think he's right, it proves out in time he was right.
It's a bit funny how that happens, right?
Alan, I didn't hear that. She said it a little louder.
He was right. Yeah, and I agree. I had that same exact experience, Marty. It's, you don't want to do it, but God honors when we are obedient to him no matter what. And you know, I think we have to remember as daughters that our Heavenly Father is always watching over us no matter what, too.
Yeah, so we go right over our husband's head, and if we think he's wrong, and he's got to answer to God, so he has a bigger responsibility. If we think he's wrong, we say, Lord, protect me. And sometimes he'll change his mind.
Mm-hmm. And there are times when I am wrong, but I hate to admit it.
But you do.
But I do. And the other important thing is to remember that God created us as husbands to be who we are, to be the leader, to be the conqueror, to be the creator for our family. And if you don't get it with your wife, in my case, he gave me three daughters, so I had plenty of opportunities to learn to listen. And moms and mothers and wives are emotional, and they're nurturing, and they care for. And that's what I've got to slow down and hear what Marty's really saying.
I know one of the things that you guys are very passionate about as well is bringing us to Scripture. And, Alan, you started kind of the second part with Ephesians 4:32.
Well, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And it's important to not stop with just that one verse there in Ephesians, because if you go on into chapter 5, it says, therefore, as God's dearly loved children, walk in the way of love. And so we've got to remember that no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord and in this life, we still need to approach it as children and to be spontaneous, to be joyful, to be honest and carefree in our relationship with him and with our spouse or other people.
So that means we don't bring yesterday's baggage into today's relationship. So if we had a fight yesterday, the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and do not give the devil a foothold. And what happens if we hold on to a fight and we ignore it and don't work through it.
She's pointing directly at me, ladies and gentlemen.
For those of us who don't really like conflict, what that does is it, like, it gives Satan an open door into our soul, and he'll plant thoughts of bitterness, of accusation, that can be brought up again and again, because fighting hurts. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, let's just fight all the time, because it is very painful. But we can have a healthy fight by letting go of the past and saying it's far more important to forgive each other and start each day anew in Christ, because as we know in Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. Why not lather his mercies on each other and liberally love each other instead of bringing up old fights? So you'll see, if you have the handout, it says stick with current events, discussing one thing at a time. So if we feel hurt by something, it's not that we avoid it or ignore it, again, because we're different from one another. And maybe you say, no, we really like each other, but I imagine there are some differences between you. Like Dobson said years ago, if two people agree on everything, one of them is unnecessary. So we can help each other grow by fleshing out our disagreements and saying, well, I'm feeling a little this way. And it's not that we're governed by our feelings. The danger in that is our feelings can be the biggest liars in the universe. But we manage our feelings, we share our feelings, and then, like, sometimes I'll say to Alan, I feel such and such, and he'll lovingly, strongly point out, you're believing a lie. But he also gives me an opportunity to work through it.
Well, the key word you said there is, I'm feeling such and such. That I is a big statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. If I say, you make me feel, that is not helpful. That is not a healthy fight. Because we need to own our own response. The people in life, the events in life, the circumstances in life, says Dr. Sam Peoples, do not make us what we are. They reveal what we are. So if I say, I'm feeling really angry, that's revealing. I've already got some anger going in there.
We've already gone through a few things here, and you'll want to get that PDF so that you can pick up where we left off, basically. Text the word healing, 561-737-6035. We'll make sure you get that PDF.
Yes, we're talking about how to have a healthy fight. Marty and Alan Whipple's joining us in studio, and already you've set the stage very well with Ephesians 4:32. Really a great verse on how to treat each other, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, so how do we do that practically? Alan, I know you wanted to take us to that very next step on what we should do.
What we've got to do as we're working through healthy conflict is we've got to maintain eye contact with the other person. I learned this early on, not necessarily in the context of marriage, but in my context of working with people. And in that situation, I was seeing what was needed to be accomplished rather than the person that was going to help me accomplish it. And in our marriage relationship, you've got to look at the eyes, you've got to look at your spouse, and look at them through the lens of love.
Mm-hmm. I think some of this, what to avoid, it says, reacting in anger. So look at them in love, you said, look at them, or avoid the anger side of it. I think when you're looking at somebody, you get to see what's going on. And when we look at our kids, we notice that, you know what, they're not – this isn't an anger issue right now. It's a – they need something to eat, or they're exhausted and they need a nap. And then we say, you know what, maybe we should step away. And sometimes some of these conflicts aren't because of something we're dealing with. It's something outside that we need to appropriately deal with, I guess, when it comes to these things.
That is so important. We can have protein bars or little baby bell cheeses or something for a snack, or a spoonful of almond butter or peanut butter. But yes, a lot of arguments could be avoided if we just simply took care of our physical needs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that something also with my spouse? Not – again, I like the avoidance word. I like that a lot, Marty. You just said it, and I appreciate that. But is can we kind of step back for a moment? If we're in one of these situations where we sense something's happening, can we kind of step back and say, let's take a break for 20 minutes. Let's go get – a snack, or let's go have dinner and then come back to this and say, we're going to deal with this, but let's get our minds back in kind of a right alignment almost.
that's a superb plan, because what happens physiologically when we're arguing is, and you've heard me talk about it before, an amygdala hijacking, where all the old stuff stored in the brain's emotional center, the amygdala, takes over. And that's when we say things that will come up for 20 years, the cruel, hurtful, you always, you never kind of things. And if we find we're doing that, or if we're shutting down, or if we're being contemptuous with our mate, we've got to stop and go to another room. It takes about 20 minutes to re-regulate our body.
Really? I just came up with that number. That's what you're telling
me? I know.
Wow. Mm. Okay.
See how smart you are? But it does.
Yeah.
But I don't mean take off in your car and say, I just need to process. Because the thing about a statement like that is, how long is it going to take you to process? Mm. If you get away from your spouse, it's so much easier. You go to the beach. You go hang out with friends, and it's like you forget about it and you don't deal with it. And there's an infection growing wild in your marriage, like cancer. I remember a physician telling me once the hardest thing about his medical practice was when he could tell someone had the earmarks of cancer and he referred them for testing and they wouldn't go because they didn't want to find out they had cancer. Then they'd come back 2 years later and it had metastasized and it was too late. So when you're having conflict, the time to deal with it is now, not later when it's a cancer in your relationship.
So the pause is okay, but then my problem is then I have to come back to it. And I guess what you're saying is don't pause for too long of a time, but give yourself some time to get past that, maybe anger or whatever it is, and then get to it. You have to get back to it.
A soda commercial used to say, the pause that refreshes. So take a pause and be refreshed.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to conflict, too, one of the other points here is it's important for us to take responsibility for our part of it. Mm-hmm. Now, this can be hard because it's so easy to see, well, here's what you're doing. And it's harder, Alan, to see what we're doing, right?
Right. And the bottom line in our human nature is we don't want to be the first to give in. And we've conquered this territory and we want to keep it.
Right.
And that's where we lose in the whole process. We've got to say, first of all, take responsibility for what I did or what I said and think about it. And Gary Chapman has the book on how to apologize, the five languages of apology. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to study our spouse and or our friends and know what will communicate clearly so that they understand that we are acknowledging that we were wrong and not that they were right, but that together we can work through this and have a win.
A win for the both of you, not just for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
you're the problem. Constantly looking for the win in your relationship. So this taking responsibility means if you feel like you're only 1% at fault or less than that, own it. Mm-hmm. And say what you can. Like, I hear you. The tone of my voice was really harsh, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Because you're not going to go forward in your relationship if you stubbornly dig in your heels and insist you're right. Mm-hmm. None of us is right all the time, right? Only Jesus is.
Yeah, and I love that often opens up. Now the person is maybe a little bit, the defense is going to go down a little bit because you've admitted you're not perfect and you have a part to play in this. So now they're maybe more able to say, well, you know what, I probably shouldn't have, you know, and now you can come together easier.
Exactly. And if both of you are physiologically aroused and spewing forth angry words, stop. And the win here is the one that says, why don't we stop and pray? Mm-hmm. We need God's help because we're both pretty upset.
Yeah.
And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God already knows about them, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we're in a seemingly loop of negativity in our relationship, let God cleanse you from that.
He provides a few things. He'll provide that cleansing and that area for forgiveness, but he also provides us with wisdom when we need it also. And I think for couples, we desperately need to be praying for that wisdom also, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the important thing to remember is when you're having conflict or having a discussion, it's not about coming to a point where you can coexist, because that just means that you've both signed the peace treaty, but you haven't really given up your rights and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for that where you can collaborate and come to that winning point.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah, that is. And then also one of the things you say we need to avoid is that complaining and also blaming the other person for mm-hmm. all of our problems. And, mm-hmm. You know, that again, there's that temptation to do that. You, instead mm-hmm. of here's my part of it.
So we need to pay attention to our own attitude. As mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar used to say, give yourself a checkup from the neck up and right. ask ourselves, is my heart one of gratitude? Mm-hmm. Is my heart one of trusting the Lord? And if it's not, we need to confess our negativity, our complaining, our blaming. Because here's the psychological thing that happens. If we start defending ourselves and explaining ourselves, do you know how we look to the other person? Guilty. We think, no, if I just say it one more time, he's going to get it. She's going to get it. No, we're going to look guilty.
But if I say it a little louder.
Oh, then.
So true. So true. And that's something to watch for. You know your fight has gotten to an unhealthy place if you're repeating yourself. Mm. And those of you who have watches that keep your pulse rate, check them. If your pulse rate is over 100, you're in the danger zone. So you need to take a break and breathe and get yourself calm again.
And what's that danger zone look like?
It looks, well.
I mean, you're offline, right?
You're offline. Mm. You're saying things that are cruel, that are critical, that are
things you're going to regret yes. once you stop.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And those things, and we've all been there where mm-hmm. why did I say, and then you just kind of fill in the blank, right? Mm-hmm. Those things, once you get to that point, you kind of know it. You can almost feel those words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we all have a sinful nature until we're with Jesus face to face. We have that. So if we let it go, we're in trouble. Yeah. Ephesians talks about the flesh is continually being corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. So let's not be deceived anymore. The win is when we're loving each other the way Christ loved us. We can't do that in our human strength, but he will do it through us. We have resurrection power mm-hmm. within us. Let's let our marriages show that, because the world is crying out for people who will illustrate how precious, how freeing, how joyful it is to belong to God, to be his people. Mm-hmm. So are we treating each other like that at home? Early in our marriage, Alan and I made a decision that how we are at home has to be okay before we go out in public and teach anybody else. We will not teach someone else if we're not right with God at home. Mm-hmm. So that meant work through things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just have like a minute remaining, and we've gone through so much, but I don't want us to end without just talking about one of your last points here, and that's forgive freely, because forgiveness has to be a part of this, because mm-hmm. even if we know everything to do, we're obviously going to make mistakes. So forgiveness really has to be where we kind of land this plane, Alan.
Right. Mm-hmm. And part of that forgiveness means that we choose to forget our part, their part, and together walk forward hand in hand to the foot of the cross and submit to Christ in our lives in every area. And it's a choice. We don't want to do that in our flesh. From the very beginning, when Eve was tempted, she said, well, you, the snake, Adam, whatever. The blame game began there, and it continues today.
Mm-hmm. So true.
But it's so worth it to yield to the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from Amplified, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plan your paths. So trust the Lord. He cares about you. You matter to him. Your marriage matters to him. Get the help you need if you need counseling, but trust the Lord. And I thought the best example of a healthy marriage this week, with what limited knowledge I have of it, is Scottie Scheffler, who dedicated his master's win to God. His wife was home. She's always with him, but she couldn't go because she's pregnant with their first child. And he said he would leave the master's tournament if she went into labor. You realize that meant giving up over $3 million. So what is God asking you to give up so your marriage can have a win?
Mm-hmm. You know, if you are at an impasse in some type of disagreement and you could use a little help, there is a link on this handout to the South Florida Association of Christian Counselors. And even the notes itself are going to be so helpful. When you text healing, we'll send that to you, 561-737-6035.
Wonder if she's had that baby yet.
I don't know.
But I know he won, so.
Yes, yes. Oh, that was good timing, right? Thankfully.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Marty, Alan, thank you so much for joining us again. This was so helpful on so many different fronts, how to have a healthy fight. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. God bless you all.